Next is a morning walk conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on December 12, 1975, in Vrindavan, India.
I can see there's life in the air, there are fishes in the water and birds in the air, and in the earth there's so many worms and crabs and things like that. We see life in these forms, but why is it not true that we can see life in fire? We can't see life in fire because we haven't experienced. But because there's life in...
doesn't mean there's no life.
Because there's life.
Because we have not experienced, it doesn't mean that there's no life.
Yeah. That I've already explained, that... you see in big factories there is fire, flame is coming. By seeing the flame, if you hear, there is no life. Is that not nonsense?
Oh, you gave the example last night of
many examples. You go to the Tata iron factory, from distance you see so many fire flames. It doesn't mean there is no life.
Another point is...
That is nonsense.
Another point is somebody had to light the fire.
Huh?
Somebody must have lit that fire. So similarly, the light of the sun, who has started that light? Somebody has started that light, that fire.
So in this way, the nonsense scientists are going on. What do you think?
So, this idea of friction causing electricity. So, electricity, this electrical energy, the source of fire, that's what the scientists think sometimes too, that the lightning bolt came down and made a fire. And that was the man's first experience of fire as a caveman.
Well, where did the lightning bolt come from?
Yes. The lightning was manufactured. Yes, Ken?
Well, there were some positive charges in the clouds and some negative charges in the ground.
That's all right. Who made that positive charge and negative charge?
So let them manufacture lightning bolts in the Tata factory.
How the electricity is produced, unless there is some arrangement. Just put counter arguments and argument, try to understand. You have to preach. Your argument stopped?
I don't know.
You cannot...
I forgot this.
Mullah Dawul Masjid.
But the fire and the life is different in the Tata factory.
Mm-hmm.
The fire is different from the life. The fire is produced.
The fire is the same. There is fire. Fire is the same. In the life, the fire is not different.
No, what I mean to say in the example, that the people are there and the fire is also there.
Mm-hmm.
So, it may...
Exactly the same way. In the factory, there's big fire and there are workers.
But the life is the workers, not the fire.
Huh?
The life is the workers, not the fire.
No. I mean to say, in the midst of fire, the living entity can live. That is my argument.
But they can't jump in the fire and live. They will die.
No. That is material body. Spiritual, in the Bhagavad Gita, there is, it does not burn into fire. In the fire. Adaya, Adaya. Adaya. So, living entity is never burned, even if he is in the fire. So he may have a body of fire, but he does not burn.
But why should we accept that? Because to make our factory, we did not need Bhagavad Gita.
Huh?
To make our factory, we did not need Bhagavad Gita.
What is it?
To make the factory, we had made such a nice factory for fire, that we did not need to consult Bhagavad Gita for that.
I do not follow what that is.
He's saying he built a factory, but he didn't use Bhagavad Gita to do it.
So, who says that without Bhagavad Gita you cannot ignite fire?
And so why should we accept that the living entity will not die?
That is authority. If you do not accept, then this is the example, argument, that the factory is surrounded by fire. It does not mean there is no light. From distance, you are seeing the sun from very, very 93 million miles away. Fiery, it is undoubtedly. But it is exactly like that you see from a distant place. An iron factory, it is simply fiery. Your experience is from distance. You have not gone there. So, the distance experience is like this, that you see there is fire, big fire, but still there are lights. You have to accept this argument.
Actually, it's perfectly reasonable.
Huh?
It's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
In the fire is fiery bodies.
Yeah.
But then that must mean in the water there's watery bodies.
Yes.
And earthy bodies.
Yes. That is God's creation. Take out one fish, within 5 minutes he'll die. And you put yourself in the water, within 5 minutes he'll die. But your living entity, he is also living. Yeah. His external body is different to your external body.
But my body is 90% water.
Hmm?
My body is 90% water.
Who?
The scientists say that this material body is 90% water.
Yes.
Human body. So I've got a watery body.
90% water?
That's what they say.
They say they are rascals. So much bones and flesh and so many things, others, 90% water.
Well, they take a cell and they say in the cell there's...
They don't call to them. They are all rascals. You come to your own reason. They say, then you accept them authority. They want you to accept authority, Bhagavad Gita. Rascal. You are quoting some rascals and fools, and I am quoting from Bhagavad Gita. Then whose quotation is favorable? They say. And when you say Krishna say, that is nothing. Just see how foolish. They say. These rascals, meat eaters, bachelor daddies, they say something, that is authority. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, says, that we cannot accept. Just see nonsense. This argument I put forward with Professor Kotovsky, that after all, we have to follow leader. So your leader is Lenin, and my leader is Krishna. So where is the difference between the process? You have to accept some authority. Now it is to be seen whether Lenin is perfect or Krishna is perfect. That is another thing. But you have to follow some authority. So you are stopped.
But in science...
Again science.
No, as far as the process goes, they're very proud of the fact that there's no authority.
But why you're following? You're quoting Newton. You're quoting this scientist, that's the way you're cutting.
Well, Newton sat there and saw the apple fall from the tree, that was experimental.
If you don't follow authority, then why you quote so many previous scientists? What is the use of quoting if there is no authority?
But the trend is, because Newton speculated the law of gravity...
No, first of all you settle. Don't go away from the point. The point is that there is no need of authority. Then why you quote this scientist, that scientist? You stop this now. There is no authority.
Yeah.
Hansudutta? So if there is no authority, why do you quote so many rascals? Then come to reason, argument. That's all. If you quote authority, I've got my authority.
So this fire, that makes sense.
Huh?
This fire, it makes sense. That there's life in fire.
Yeah, this is argument. When you do not accept authority, there must be reason and argument.
But this ether thing is very troublesome.
Troublesome for you?
Yes. You said sound is in the ether.
Yes.
But I couldn't understand how air...
You have to gain that intelligence.
Yes.
Sound is the proof that there is ether. Shabda. Now, while I am talking, you are hearing. How are you hearing? Ethereal transportation. Otherwise, how can you hear? I am talking here, and why you are hearing? This is ethereal. The sound is being produced. Somewhere else, the ether is passing. There's television. What is it called? Radio.
They heard people on the earth talking on the moon.
Yes.
So they went through the air, went through the space. Sound.
And the moon says that there is no life.
Yeah.
Then who is speaking? Nonsense. They talk in the moon and they hear from here, and there is no life. And we have to take these authorities.
I remember once you said that we may not live in the water, but that doesn't mean there's no such thing as a fish.
Yeah.
So that is also a very good argument. I remember you said that much.
So the air is coming from the ether.
Yeah.
So...
Because in the air there is sound. Therefore ether is there. It is a production of the ether.
So would it be beneficial to try to understand the process of production? Huh? Like the example of the earth coming from the water.
Yeah.
Because the water evaporates. There's leftover minerals and salts and all these things.
Yes, yes.
And the fire producing the water from excess heat, like in the summer season.
Yeah.
And then the monsoon comes.
Yeah.
But... And fire from air, from the friction, generating electric current. But the air from the ether needs an example.
Air from the ether, because when the air blows, you find the sound, shh, that is ether.
Yeah, some little...
But the example's got to go the other way. From the ether comes the air.
That you found out, example. But this is the proof that is ether within the ether. That example is given many times in Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna.
Does it mean beyond the ether?
There's mind. There's mind.
There's no sound.
So what is the sound of the mind? Everyone knows you have mind, I have mind, but where is the sound of the mind?
They're subtle, then the gross has no realm in the subtle.
Yeah, that is finer.
So is that example of the space, then the thinner air, and the water, and the earth, and in between the electricity?
The grosser, grosser.
Is that a good example?
Everything is coming from the subtle form. Finer. Finer, there. Then the ether is the mind. And finer, then the mind is intelligence.
Oh, and in the Bhagavatam, it also says that because the universal form desired to hear, that sound was created, and then the organ for hearing, like that.
That is also created.
So
that's like from ether, sound is created. Sabdas parsa. Sabdas parsa roop ras kanda. These are the five tadmatra, objects of sense perception. Tanmatra, 10 senses, mind, and 3 modes, material nature. This is the ingredient of the whole creation.
So the basic element is the soul.
Basic element is Krishna.
And then the spirit soul's desire.
Yes.
And Krishna fulfills everyone's desire.
Yeah.
By manipulating the energy.
So the most subtle form.
He is also the living entity of creating different body for different environment.
The living entity?
Yes.
But he can't do it without Krishna.
That is, he's subordinate.
Just like our hair grows, but we don't know how it's happening.
It is samsa. Matta sarvam pravartate. Everything from Krishna.
Is the most subtle form of creation the desire of the living entity to enjoy this material world?
Yes.
And then Krishna comes.
Surprise, ingredients.
Imply ingredients.
Yes.
So that desire, that is equivalent to, or is that the
form
of
a child wants to play, and the father and mother gives the toys. All right. So without getting help from the father and mother, the child cannot enjoy. Similarly, we may desire, but unless Krishna helps us, we cannot fulfill our desire.
Is desire a function of consciousness?
Yes. Unless there is desire, how it is living? It is dead body. Stone has no desire.
The spirit soul is...
Therefore, spirit soul is described as superior than that. he desires and he manipulates the matter. Jayadam dharjati jagat.
It's very logical, step by step by step by step. Actually, when it's seen from the point of view of the desire of the living entity, it makes perfect sense, because he's got these senses and the sound, and then in order to hear, there has to be a vehicle for the sound, and then there has to be an instrument. And then in order to touch, there has to be the vehicle and the...
Yes.
So therefore, from that point of view, it's very, very logical.
This is the point, Rabbi.
Trying to do it the other way is impossible. From the empirical process? I don't know if that's the right word. Inductive reasoning? Deductive reasoning. Impossible.
Deductive reason is possible. Krishna says that Najayate Namriyate Va. This is deductive. You hear from Krishna, and this is fact. And if you want to make research how that living entity never takes birth, then it will take time. At the same time, it may not be perfect.
I finally understood why you were always talking to Swarup Damodar about inductive and deductive reasoning.
Yeah.
It's just not possible to go the other way.
By inductive reason, you cannot reach the truth perfectly.
Because it's beyond the material creation. And you have to use the material senses and mind to understand. It's not possible.
Therefore, our point is deductive. What Krishna says, that is perfect.
So first prove the existence of God and the existence of the spirit soul.
Yeah.
And then they'll just have to explain.
And then it's creation.
There's creation. They'll just have to accept they have desires.
Aham eva asam agre. This is the Bhagavad's first instruction to Brahma. Aham eva asam agre. Agre means in the beginning. In the beginning, Krishna was there. Then creation took place. Similarly, in the beginning of this body, I am spirit soul was there. Then the body comes out. Similarly, Krishna is there, there is the whole cosmic manifestation. Aham eva asam agre. And at the end of the creation, Krishna is there. Similarly, at the end of this body, I am there. Again, I create another body. This is going on.
Krishna's trick, just to give us this facility.
Huh?
It's Krishna's trick, just to give us this facility.
And because I wanted it, Krishna doesn't want it. But because we are rascals, we wanted it. Krishna is all right. Do it.
So therefore, in the beginning, Krishna gives you the big post, Brahma.
Yeah.
So now you're in charge of creating a whole universe.
Yeah. You want to lord it over, all right, you become Brahma. He gives so much facility.
And then this Brahma creates so many different desires. And then he goes through all the different bodies.
Yeah.